Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, wellness. Again, we want to wish all our listeners, their families, safe school fall sports season. Things are really going in so many different sports. Safe and successful, everybody. We've got a great doubleheader today. We're going to start off with Mike Niklos. He's the head strength and conditioning coach for that great group, Acceleration Sports. He's a former three-time All-American football player. He was the Illinois State powerlifting champion. So he'll be joining me. And then June Cate, she's a fitness expert, an entertainer. She's a member of the National Fitness Hall of Fame. She's an author, keynote speaker. And then we'll have the sports doctors in where I answer some emails, mention some upcoming guests. First, I want to welcome Mike Niklos to the Sports Doctor. Mike, welcome.
How you doing? Thank you for having me.
Good. I wanted, you know, your brother, JR, has been a guest of ours on the Sports Doctor, gosh, I don't know, a year or longer ago. Give us a little bit, Mike, of your background, which is extensive, leading up to being the head strength and conditioning coach with Acceleration.
Yeah, definitely. So, born and raised in Columbus, Ohio. Grew up right on the outskirts of Columbus. Went out to school called Bishop Watterson. I was a four-sport athlete there. Ended up deciding that football was more for me. So I went out to college at Robert Morris in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to play football. There I was a three-time All-American as a defensive back. About in the middle of my career, had a little setback with a couple ankle injuries, and really started working with the head strength and conditioning coach, who was Tom Mislinski, who is now the strength coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Started finding a love more for the strength and conditioning side. Slowly started getting a little bit more interest in that more than football, so really kind of started giving my time to on the strength side. Continued my career, tried to play a little bit more professional, had a couple workouts, went to camp with the Steelers, but really found a love for the strength and conditioning aspect in the off season of actual development and athletic side of movement. From there, I bounced around. I went back to Robert Morris as an intern. Was there for about 6-7 months, and then I went up to Northern Illinois as a strength coach. And then about 2010, 2011, I became full-time at Acceleration Sports Performance in Naperville. And I've been there ever since.
You know, it's interesting, Mike. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, most major sports didn't know how to spell strength and conditioning, you know, let alone included it. Now it's a very, very big deal. As everybody knows who listens to the Sports Doctor, where we feature the highest level of youth sports and the challenges of parenting the child athlete and the pressures, both mental and physical, that go into all different types of sports. And Acceleration, I've had many, many athletes that go there. My solo ice dance champion, Chloe Ryan, who I think I put in orthotics when she was 7 years old, goes to Acceleration. Tell us about Acceleration Sports, Mike.
Yeah, so the big difference is, you know, when I came from the college realm, we had, you know, 18-year-olds, 18 or 23-year-olds that have already kind of been developed, you know. We were just kind of making sure that we fine-tune everything, made sure that, you know, genetics played its role to allow the athlete to succeed. And one of the big things that I decided and I wanted to come back to the youth level was because I felt like, just like you said, we get the first touch with them. We get to really develop not only their mental side, but their physical side, and really start to define who they are as adults. both mentally and physically. So not only just how they are on the field, but, you know, the type of work ethic that they're going to become when they become young men and women. So one of the big things that I think we really focus on is just how we communicate with the athletes, especially because it's a lot different communicating with a youth athlete than it is an adult athlete. You know, allowing that athlete that's 8, 9, 10, and all the way up to 16, 17 to really learn to problem solve, which I think, you know, at this level with so many travel programs and sport-specific movements that we're really becoming a coached community. We're
the world of overkill, Mike.
The world of overkill, right?
Yes. One of the reasons I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is the epidemic with a capital E of youth sports overuse injuries, both you know, physically and mentally. And this is why it becomes such a big deal that we can count on organizations like Acceleration to be able to pay big attention to all aspects of these young boys and girls as they develop in their sports career. And this is why I always ask, you know, coaches like yourself, Mike, how your psychology skills are. You know, when you're working when you're working with mom and dad, you're working with coaches, you're working with big time pressures, and this is a big challenge. I want to ask you more about that in a minute. Everybody, you're listening to the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to sportsdoctorradio.com, and you can go to radio shows. You can go back over 10 years. Before that, I think we had reel-to-reel stuff in our radio shows. And you could see who the guests were from all over the world and an endless array of topics and listen to whatever you'd like. You could zip over to newspaper articles and magazines and read an endless array of topics and subjects, whether your son or daughter should be specializing in one sport. What about the proper shoes for you or your young athlete? And one of my most popular articles, which is Women and High Heels Accepting the Challenge. You can follow us on Twitter. We have over 30,000 followers. We have a lot of sports medicine, health and wellness information at SportsDoc, DOC Radio. We're talking with Mike Niklos. He's the head strength and conditioning coach at Acceleration Sports in the Illinois Naperville, Aurora area, Lyle area, and we were talking about some of the important points that youth sports brings to the table. You know, a lot of people, it's not cheap for different kinds of training. It wasn't even available. You know, if a kid goes through physical therapy, rehabbing an injury, sometimes he doesn't know where to go. She doesn't know where to go. Parents don't know where to go. What are some of the ages, Mike, that in general that Acceleration Sports works with?
So we start at the age of 8, and then we actually work all the way up to professional, any type of athlete, any type of sport. Like I said, we work on really the developmental side of sport. You know, fast is fast. So the athlete that's fast in hockey is going to be the athlete that's fast on the ground, that's going to be fast on any other type of turf. So really making sure that their brain and their body kind of connect cohesively and sequentially to really define what they do. So when they get on the field, not only are they more coachable because they understand how to use their body, but they're actually able to do it at a higher rate of force.
And how much attention, Mike, do you pay to the screening of some of these kids? We know, again, that there's a good amount, an epidemic amount of these overuse injuries. Too much scheduling, too much, too soon, too aggressive. One of the chapters in my book is titled The Prodigy Sports, where I talk about, you know, we tell kids all day we want them to play multiple sports. You were a four-sport athlete, you mentioned. In high school, it's like a dinosaur today because of the pressure to specialize. But there are sports, whether it's figure skating, whether it's dance, gymnastics, ballet, even soccer and tennis, where you've got a 10, 11, 12-year-old. You know, Mike, I know you want me to play other sports. I don't want to play other sports. I want to concentrate on what I'm doing. And many times that's when I like an organization like Acceleration, who really can also work with those kids, because everybody has two goals in mind, Mike. Number one, can I prevent problems and injuries? And number two, when indicated, can we enhance performance? Can we be a step or two quicker? This is when I give you one of the main bullet points of the sports doctor, which is to strengthen those feet and ankles. I don't care what the sport is. I don't care what their age is. And work balance, work stability. And I know you guys, one of your claims to fame, I understand, Mike, you were a 4.38 second 40-yard guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
that's
got
to be, that's some of the fastest there is, isn't it?
Oh, I think that usually anybody that's going in the 4.3s of the NFL level are moving. And like you just said, I think it's developing the athlete as a whole from the big toe all the way up to the brain. And if it's not fully developed, you're not reaching full potential, and you have the ability to not only lack performance, but really put yourself on a red alert of high injury rate.
Yes. What's the website, Mike, that people can find out all information about Acceleration and your programs?
They can find us at www.accelerationpro.com, as well as we're all on the social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can find us at Acceleration Pro.
Now, your brother, JR, played in the NFL, didn't he?
He did, yeah, 6 years.
Yes. And who did he play with?
Oh, good gracious. He played with
You better know this. He's your brother.
I know. Majority of the time with Oakland and St. Louis. He bounced around with Kansas City, Cleveland, and St. Louis. I hope I got all those.
Yes, yeah, I'm sure you did. So you guys decided to pay big attention to the whole idea of the youth athletics. And, you know, we have so many organizations on the sports, Dr. Michael. iSport 360, a great program for communication with coaches and families from England, working with parents in sports with Gordon McClelland, the National Alliance of Youth Sports. They've all been guests on the Sports Doctor at one time or another. And again, paying attention to some of these different challenges. You know, when you've got moms and dads and you've got scholarships potentially on the line, you got parents spending a fortune for traveling teams, then you're right smack in the middle many times of these kinds of challenges. What are some of the ratios, boys and girls, you guys have with your programs?
So we generally, we're pretty much split. I would say that, you know, we're high on football and soccer. Women's soccer has been very big for us. We've had the luxury, I should say, or the being able to work with a lot of professional women's players, a lot of girls on the Red Stars. And then we also work with a majority of football and baseball players too. And I think that's kind of at the higher level that's allowed us to really trickle down through the high schools and the youth age to really kind of, I think those are our two bigger sports. We're starting to really get into lacrosse. I think lacrosse in the Midwest is starting to get past the more tactical side where, you know, now we're really starting to understand how to play, and we're playing with the East Coast teams, we're playing with some of the down south teams, where now it's about being able to get as fast and as quick as them along with the tactical and technical side.
Yes, a lot of times we see, you know, my mentor, Bob Guida, the trainer of champions, we work with the Super Bowl Bears, John McEnroes, the Yannick Noahs. I don't want to age myself or anything here, but Guida would always make such a big deal out of working balance and working. We used to call it instability training. You know, I still have slides of Gary Fentick balancing on the mini tram. I think if I can dig them up. What are some of the things that you pay attention to that you feel the key to go into a strength and conditioning program, regardless of the sport?
Yeah,
some of the things that you're paying attention to.
It's really big to understand what needs to be mobile and what needs to be stable. You know, and you got to always remember that, you know, there's a kinetic chain, and, you know, I know you work with a lot of feet, and that's, you know, if there's a disconnect between anything of that chain from the big toe to the brain,
that's why I'm singing you the song, lack. Mike. I'm singing you the song. The foot bone's connected to the ankle bone, especially you're in girls' sports. 5-6-1 ACL injuries. I can count on one hand how many non-contact ACL injuries in some of the top girls in the country. When we combine what you do with what I do, prescription orthotics for proper alignment, we just don't pay enough attention to that. But of course, I'm prejudiced. So it's interesting terms you use. You know, what's stable and what's movable. And do you find the real importance is proper technique with these kids? How's the in the last couple of minutes we have here? How's the relationship with you, pediatric community, the coach and sports, high school community? I know you guys are highly regarded.
Yeah, definitely. I think our big job is to open up the line of communication, especially with Google and all the information that's out there. There's so many misconceptions about what training is, and I think it's very, very difficult when it comes to the strength side or the developmental side, because I think we've all lifted weights before. We've all ran, we've all jogged, we've all sprinted. So there's always that idea that we have a preconceived notation of what it is and what needs to happen, where, you know, we all have degrees in this. We spend hours and hours on continued education, where this is our full-time job, and we always relate it to...
How about the art of recovery, Mike? How about the art and science of recovery? You know, and I know you guys pay big attention to nutrition, all of these other things, but, you know, the idea of, I call it intelligent rest, which is to, you know, try to get the proper recovery. I bet that's another challenge you have, especially with these kids who want to be doing everything all the time.
All right. We're stress relievers. We're stress management. I mean, you can correlate between strength and conditioning and stress management. All we do is figure out what type of stress. Are they low stress, high stress, medium stress, and try to balance it out. So if they came in working out with four games right before, we know we need to give them low stress to balance everything out, to allow that recovery process to actually happen. Depending on whatever intensity that they came in, will always depend on the type of stress or type of movement that we give them. And our job is to make sure that they're recovered, or they're allowing their body to biologically happen. And
great stuff. Michael, give us again, Mike, give me quickly the website again.
It's www.accelerationpro.com.
Great. Mike Niklos, Acceleration Sports, thanks so much for joining us. Hold on quickly, Mike. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athletes. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. And we're live from Chicago. I want to welcome June Cate. She is a leading fitness professional. She's an author, writer, entertainer. She's a keynote speaker. And she's somebody who really, really spreads the word on fitness at all levels in so many different disciplines. Hey, June, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Hello, Dr. Bob. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be on the show.
I am so glad you're joining me. June was at the, I was inducted into the National Fitness Hall of Fame. She's a member. She was there rocking and rolling at the induction ceremony, taking part in some of the different exercise classes. I'm excited to have you. June, give us a little bit of quickie background on yourself.
Okay, but before I do, I want to congratulate you on being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Wow, what a coup, huh? Oh, my God.
I'm still basking in the glow.
I know. All those famous people, and now you're right up there with them. Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, what did you ask me again? I always get off track.
I'm going to have you give us some background on you and your fitness world.
Okay, sounds great. Well, actually, I started in the fitness business in 2004. And it was after a car accident and back surgery. I was in rehab. And after about a week sitting on a couch, because back in that time they said, don't do anything, sit down, relax, just, you know, don't be strenuous. My daughter, who is a fitness professional and has been a professional for over 20 years, was teaching a silver sneakers class. So I called her up one day and I said, Jamie, I am dying. I'm sitting in this chair. I'm going crazy. I'm all by myself. She says, Mom, come into my silver sneakers class. She says, and if nothing else happens, she says, at least you're sitting there. You move your fingers, your toes, whatever you want to do, and come to the Y and have some fun and meet some people. I said, okay. So I went there. I sat in a chair. And I took the program, and at the end, she came up to me. She said, how'd you like it? I said, oh, Jamie, this is what I want to do when I grow up. And she says, right. She says, what are you talking about, Mom? I said, this is just like teaching kindergarten. And my background is I used to be a kindergarten teacher. I went to school at Buff State, and I taught kindergarten through sixth grade, basically kindergarten, though. And it was just like teaching kindergarten back in the early 70s. I started in 73, probably back when a lot of you, your listeners, weren't even alive then. But, you know,
well, it's interesting. You know, you're one of the people, you come from a teaching background, and, of course, education and teaching. You talk about the silver slippers and silver shoe programs that are done many times for seniors, trying to keep people active. We know, and I know you're a big proponent of the fact that really the new medicine is eat smarter and keep moving. And whether it's yoga, whether it's different weightlifting, whether it's other kinds of things, we've seen we've come a long, long way, baby, in so many different areas. And I know that you pay big attention to what you call emerging through movement programs.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
Okay, my emerging through movement, it's basically moving. I actually teach not only silver sneakers, I teach enhanced fitness. I teach mostly active older adults. I teach yoga. I teach line dancing. I used to say it was for all my program, my emerging through movement was for seniors. But now it's for everybody, Dr. Bob. You know that nobody's moving anymore. I sit there and go, oh, my God, please, please get them moving. I feel like we're turning people into robots and robots into people. This is, I don't know, this new world we're living in. I don't know. What
it's
do you
a
think
challenge.
About that?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, I've spoken on the Sports Doctor for 20 years, give or take a few weeks. We've talked about the challenges of obesity. We've talked about the real challenges of childhood obesity. And we've come a long way in awareness. There's tremendous education. You were part of the YMCA, who has always been, through history, one of the great teachers of fitness and wellness over the years. And it seems there's a gym on every other corner, and there's sure a physical therapy group on every other corner, I'll tell you that. But yet, we're treading water. We have not made great strides. Childhood obesity will break us financially. We can't afford kids growing up with high blood pressure and joint problems and heart concerns because of obesity. And it's a tremendous challenge. So I consider you one of the educators working in that area. And like you mentioned, the seniors, everybody wants to try to stay active as best they can, try to stay as healthy as they can. But yet what you say is part of the reality, which is, you look around, everybody's looking at their phone, paying attention to social media. What's the website, June, people could find out about you and your programs?
Well, my website is TampaBayBodies.com or JuneCate.com, LineDancingYoungAndOld.com. It all goes to the same website, but all the different programs I have up there, whether it's Emerging Through Movement, line dancing. And by the way, I am going to be teaching Line Dancing Young and Old, my program, on Friday morning at the International Council of Active Aging at 6:55 a.m. at the Gaylord Palms Hotel in Orlando. I'm so excited to be teaching and presenting for them. And I'll be presenting in November at the Athletic Business Conference. Just so many wonderful things happen. Everything just happens. And I guess when the person is ready, the master or the opportunity will appear, I should say.
Really? It's a famous. What did you do in the past with the AARP and Martina Navratilova?
Right. Let me tell you about that. I went to an AARP convention, a national convention. And Martina Navratilova, it was her first year, they decided to have a fitness ambassador. So she was their fitness ambassador, and I went to her program at like 6 o'clock in the morning, wherever it was. She was supposed to be teaching fitness. And she got up on stage, and she is an amazing, amazing athlete. And she's probably taken fitness classes or had a personal trainer all her life. But being an instructor and being a presenter is a whole different thing. So she got up there and, it was like she didn't quite know what she was doing. I think she thought it'd be so easy. Well, it's
yeah.
not
did
quite
you go
easy.
Up and save her? Yes.
I did.
You
she
did, really? Now, I know you've been on stage with Jack LaLanne, with Richard Simmons, some of the real pioneers in the world of fitness. And by the way, Martina Navratilova was one of the greatest tennis players, of course, of all time. She also was one of the greatest athletes way back then when most of the women, a lot of the men, were not paying much attention to really, really training as athletes. They were training as tennis players. And Martina, of course, was one of the elite athletes in that particular world. And so that must have been fun interacting. Of course, AARP is a great organization. One of the biggest challenges today, June, of course, is, seniors and fall prevention and working on balance and stability for our senior and super senior population. And exercise is and a great way to do it. And if you're doing line dancing, you could also get to wear some cowboy boots, I guess.
Oh, <Right? laughs> yes. Do you provide orthotics for those?
Absolutely. Sometimes we put the same type of an orthotic in a cowboy boot that we would put in a dress shoe or a figure skate, which it might be thinner or narrower, less bulky than a device. By the way, did I pronounce your last name properly, Kite?
Kite.
Ah, good. I thought maybe I would have messed it up. I know that you have a book you did, gosh, a decade or so ago, Tips by Kite. What were some of the things that you wanted to stress when you wrote your book?
Well, you know, it was funny because it's right now it's out of print, and I was going to revise it, and I haven't finished my revision yet. But when I first did it in 2010, I wrote the book, and then as I looked back and I said, oh, these are so Mickey Mouse. You know, nobody's going to read this because these tips are so basic. But then when I go back and read them, it's like, oh, my God, I hear this every day. And most people, when you tell them things like this, once they realize what you said, they go, oh, my God, I can't believe that, you know. So, for example, let me see, water. You know, sometimes you think you're hungry, but really only you are thirsty. So people will get a headache or something, or they'll feel tired, lethargic, nauseated, and they'll take a pill. Well, sometimes all you need is a drink of water. It's so crazy.
Yes, it's funny. Hydration is still absolutely such a big deal. You know, and there's not a summer goes by where there's not a catastrophe or more involving school sports and college sports where, again, there was some sort of neglect on the importance of hydration and the importance many times or of exercising in the heat. And I see you've also, again, you've involved yourself in the thousands of year old tradition of yoga, which still remains as popular, even probably more popular, I think, than ever.
But everybody's into yoga. It, for a while, it was kind of taboo, especially in the Christian population. They kind of felt like it was anti-Christian or it had something
really?
To do with religion. Yeah. And remember, I live in the Bible Belt, so I did get that a lot. But over the years, they've realized that it's just a series of movements and it's to increase
your blood. Yeah, we just want to make sure these people don't overstretch and overdo it. We're going to come back. We're talking with June Kite, fitness specialist. She's a presenter, keynote speaker. Everybody, it's a Sports Doctor. We'll be right back. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Welcome back to the Sports Doctor. I'm talking with Tampa Bay Body, June Kite, the fitness expert. She's a keynote speaker, health and wellness. And we were talking before the break, June, about yoga and how incredibly popular it is. There's many, many, many professional athletes in so many different sports who include yoga. And, you know, the mind-body connection has become such a big deal in fitness. So it looks like yoga, it sure ain't brand new. It's been around for thousands of years. What are some of the things that you like about it?
Well, I really like that it stresses your alignment, proper alignment, posture. It stresses deep breathing and getting in touch with your body. When I worked last year with AARP, the first hour, we did an hour of yoga, and then we took a 15-minute break, and I told everybody, okay, get on your dancing shoes. We're going to dance. So I feel yoga is very introspective. It teaches you to learn and listen to your body. You know, we carry this body around. I'm 69 years old. We carry it around for all these years, and you don't even think about how it works. You don't think about the muscles and how they're connected to the bones by tendons and ligaments, and how it works and how the body is, you know, one group of muscles, you know, stretches, the other group tighten, and how when you have a problem, your sister muscles, muscles that are around that muscle might take over, and then they take you out of alignment. So proper alignment is so important.
Yeah, control is a big word, isn't it? Isn't control, stability is a great adjective also with yoga. Technique is so important. But, you know, on the Sports Doctor, we talk so much about what I call the mental game, whether it's the high-performance athlete, whether it's their mother and father, whether it's all of these different pressures to play hurt, the whole world of the mental game. And the word mindfulness, which, you know, 10 years ago, nobody knew how to spell it, seems. does it have one S or two?
Right.
Today is a big deal, and it seems that yoga is a great discipline that allows people, like you said, a main point, to listen and be aware of their body. So it seems that it's even got the spiritual component, which is probably what got in the way of you in the Bible Belt years ago, I would imagine, right?
Right. As a matter of fact, I teach very much a spiritually based yoga. At the end of every class, if I am allowed, depending on where I go, I say a prayer for peace. And so many people come up to me afterwards and crying or saying how much it meant to them. As a matter of fact, a woman came up to me just today because it's one of the high holy days in the Jewish faith. And at the end of our prayer for peace, I say shalom, amen, namaste. And she came up to me and she said, you know, I haven't been to the synagogue in a while. I was kind of disenchanted with the synagogue. But this prayer that you did, or this song, and I do it to let there be peace on earth, she said, has touched me the way nothing else has touched me in years.
Isn't that interesting?
And
you never know.
Time.
Yeah. You never know. How people might be taking to account what we're talking about, whether it's in a one-on-one, whether you're teaching a class, whether I'm talking to thousands of people on the Sports Doctor. I think you got a great little line moniker here talking about what you do when you're talking about making friends, having fun, and getting fit. You know, people won't stick with their fitness program if they're not enjoying it. This has been one of the big challenges many times. Is, you know, having people be able to find out activities that they enjoy. I'm a big walking advocate. I also really like the gym being mixed in. So, and I know you also pay big attention to what people put in their body and nutrition also, don't you, June?
I certainly do. As a matter of fact, I was at the 2012 Miss Florida Hall of Fame, and I won fan favorite. And my philosophy was to eat real food, go outside and play, hang around with the right people in the right places, say your prayers, and get plenty of sleep, because you really can't fool Mother Nature. And eating real food, I try not to eat anything with preservatives in it. I try to eat, I do eat meat, I eat fish, I eat chicken, but basically everything is prepared by me, and I like to just eat things without additives or preservatives, and the more you eat it, the more you get used to eating it like that. And I could tell the next day when I've eaten something that that doesn't agree with me, I'll get circles under my eyes. Maybe my eyes will look watery. You can just tell my skin is fallow. But when I eat, you know, good food and I eat healthy, the next day I feel light. I feel
energetic. It's such a big deal, June. You know, it's such a big deal. You can't watch television for 5 minutes without either seeing one of my real pet peeves on the Sports Doctor, television advertising or prescription drugs ad nauseum. But if besides that, you can't get past all the diet commercials. And it's just really, and the fact is that I think we all knew as we grew up that fast food and really wasn't good. I don't think we realized that the good old, terrific, wonderful, you know, all-American diet was as detrimental as it's ended up being in so many different respects. I think we got, sold a real bill of goods, not only with Big Pharma, but also with the big food companies and all the cereals and all the sugar and all of this stuff. So I think, you know, again, the education, and you're a big part of the education world. I think I include myself here on the Sports Doctor, which is trying to get the word across that you got to eat smarter and you just got to pay attention to this, especially as we get older. And these kinds of challenges, yet sometimes you must be throwing your hands up and saying, you know, we're treading water. Right?
Well, you know, I tell people, when you think about it, it takes like 3,500 calories for a pound, correct? Very close to that, to gain or lose a pound. Well, let me tell you, you can eat 3,500 calories at one sitting. You have a couple of pieces of pie or something, you can actually put on a pound a day.
Well, that's why I ask you. That's why I ask experts in the world of fitness and whatever, like yourself, June. I ask you how your psychology skills are as you're dealing with people and organizations. It's such a mental game, isn't it?
Oh, it's terrible. It's so funny, you know, as I was saying, you can put on a pound so easy. Try to take off a pound. Try to burn off 3,500 calories in a day. You're going to be dying doing that. You really don't want to do that. You really want to watch what you eat on a daily basis. And you have to remember that, you know, the body is a system of wheels within wheels. It's meant to rotate and move on a daily basis. You've got to keep active. You've got to keep busy. And, you know, it's a mental game, too. As you said, you've got to, you know, it's a head game. And, you know, why do you eat? You know, when you think about it, you don't usually eat because you're hungry. You eat because you're tired. You eat because you're depressed. You eat because it's there. You eat because you already bought it and you paid for it. You eat because there's a two-for-one special. You eat because somebody says, oh, you got to try
all you can eat. I like my friend Katie Davis. Katie Davis, who participated in our book, she talked about fueling the body. But I can't believe we ran out of time with June Cate, fitness expert. June, give me the website again. People can get your info.
JuneCate.com. TampaBayBodies.com, LineDancingYoungAndOld.com. It all goes to the same website. And thank you so much, Dr. Bob, for having me on. You're amazing.
Thank you so much, June. Hold on quickly. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Talk.
Okay.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com. aurorailinois.com.
Hey, live from Chicago on this gorgeous fall day. Welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. And this is the Sports Doctor's In segment. Do a little preview of a couple of upcoming shows, answer a few emails, rock and roll. Next week, Sarah Auster is going to be joining us. Sarah is a leader in the field of sound therapy, sound baths. Is her program, and it's really fascinating to see the relaxation, meditation, healing aspects of taking a sound bath. And then Coach Reed Maltby. Coach Reed is a coach of coaches. He spends so much time on the important aspects of youth coaching in so many different sports. I'm excited about him coming the following week. One of my colleagues, one of the famous sports podiatrists, Dr. Doug Ritchie. He's the creator of the famous foot-ankle Ritchie brace. And then Jackie Lupo, National Fitness Hall of Fame member. Her dad is one of the Lifetime Achievement Award winners, will be joining us. So we got some great shows coming up. Let's do a few emails. You can email me, Dr. Weil. SportsDoctor at yahoo.com, drwelsportsdoctor, yahoo.com. Gosh, it's a long email, but it was one of our old sites. We kept it. Harold says, I'm a runner-jogger. What is retrocalcaneal bursitis? Fancy term. You know, there's a bursa. Bursas are like shock-absorbing fluid sacs that can be in between the attachment of a tendon and the bone. And there's one location right on the back of the heel where the Achilles tendon attaches to the heel bone in the back, and that bursa can be aggravated. It sometimes can be confused or be misinterpreted as Achilles tendonitis, where there's an inflammation of the bursa, whether it's many times from overuse. Too much running, too much jumping, too much pounding of that area. It can be treated with intelligent rest. We usually will bring in physical therapy. We want to, check the type of shoe you might be in. And if it's persistent, we want to pay attention to the role of orthotics. We might be seeing, again, that we're overstressing that area consistently with the foot mechanics involved in running. Don't try to push through it without treatment, without evaluation, because it's a mistake. Over-the-counter anti-inflammatories might also help. Mary Lou says, my 16-year-old is a cross-country runner. He's had shin splints on and off the past 3 or 4 years. Most persistent shin problems. And shin splints is not a medical term. You could have a stress fracture. It could be a tendonitis. It could be tendon or bone bruising. So you need a diagnosis on what specifically it is. The inner side of the lower leg bone is commonly the area of shin discomfort. When it's persistent, it's almost always foot-related, where we've got, for example, pronated feet, causing excessive internal rotation and stress and pull on the posterior tibial tendon, which starts crying, hey, back off. Sometimes you'll see somebody walking and running where they have almost like a foot slap because of the overuse of that muscle. So if this is something that's been persistent for your son, see podiatry. Usually orthotics can be extremely helpful. You can try something over the counter like Superfeet. You want to look at physical therapy. Usually the combination of strengthening of the lower leg muscles along with control of that abnormal motion. The very high arch foot, because it could be pounding the pavement, also can be involved. We see a lot of shin splint problems at the beginning of the year. The ground's very hard. Sometimes it's too mushy. Sometimes we're doing too much too soon. But when it's been persistent, like you mentioned, it's got to have a foot component. The great news is orthotics could be magic for your son. Steve says, my 15-year-old daughter is a pretty serious figure skater. She's got these bumps on the inside of the ankle. They call it an accessory navicular. In figure skating, because we're in a boot and we're almost in like a cast, and if the foot has got excessive motion like with a pronated foot, you will be rubbing that particular inside of the arch and that particular bone, sometimes causing it to thicken or enlarge or maybe get a bursa on top of it. And you want to make sure that the boot fitter punches out that area of the boot. And you want to look at orthotics. Again, I've been putting orthotics in figure skates. People who listen to the show know it's been one of my real super specialties. My poster boy, the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist, Evan Lysacek, grew up in Naperville, Illinois. He was 10 years old when we first put orthotics in his boots. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old boots. And many times controlling motion is one of the reasons we're doing it. Whether it's the back of the heel or the inside of the arch, we can be rubbing on those areas. So see the bootmaker and check out podiatry, because that's the magic combination to get rid of this problem. Speaking of skating, Paul says, my son is 12 years old. He plays a lot of hockey. He's been diagnosed with these bumps on the back of his heels. They call it Haglund's. Just like we spoke about with our last email, Steve, the excessive buildup of bone on the back of the heel sometimes is inherited, where they call it Haglund's, where there's an actual bump on the back of the heel to begin with. And when you put that foot in skates and we start having the kinds of motions that are required in skating, a lot of inward-outward rotation of the heel, we can be aggravating those bumps. I've been putting orthotics in skates for a million years for that specific problem. Almost always, you can successfully solve it. Also, having the bootmaker punch out the back of the boot, so that we've got a bubble around that particular bump of the bone, is very, very successful. Rarely, especially you mentioned your son is 12 years old, both him, 12-year-old and the 15-year-old skater, rarely is surgery necessary for any of these bumps that hurt. Making sure that these kids are in the proper fitting skate, making sure also that custom orthotics can be brought into the equation if there's something that's been progressing and or recurrent, you want to be able to include those both with very, very good chances of success. And for both of you, one of the exciting parts of proper orthotics and skating is enhanced performance, sharper edging, better balance, better stability. So many times we'll see that the same orthotics we're using to try to stop the bumps from hurting has got this kid a step or two quicker, or this girl jumping more aggressively, landing with better balance, something that's very, very important. Again, if you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, you can read all about various aspects of skating and figure skating. If you go to orthotics, you can read all about what's important, what goes into the whole science of foot mechanics and the use of orthotics. Someone's got a question here, Steve, mentioning about the prodigy sports. Yes, in my book, Hashtag A Sports Parents, I have a chapter in my section, The Sports Doctor's In, actually talking about the prodigy sports, where we have young boys or girls specializing very early in the sport they love, no matter how much you tell them to play other sports. Figure skating is one of famous for this. So is gymnastics. So is tennis and soccer, where you might have a 10, 11, 12-year-old already only wanting to play that one sport. And in the chapter, I talk about the importance, like with my first guest, Mike Niklos, about getting under the tutelage of a good physical therapist, a good personal trainer, to get your son or daughter doing the right kind of exercises to stay out of trouble. Bingo bango, we're out of time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Catch us next week. It's the Sports Doctor, live from Chicago. Thank you.